blessing. I'm honored to stand before you in the house of the Lord this morning. This morning, I first want to thank those men who have gone before us. We had our brother Stokes, who led us in the announcements this morning. We had our brother Caleb Boyd, who led us in prayer this morning. We also had Charles Dickerson IV read the scripture for us, and our young brother Brian Collins. Say every time he gets up here, he gets better and better and better. I mean, I hear some things in his voice now, you know, and it's all about confidence. And just doing it and doing it more and over. And practice does make perfect, doesn't it? Doesn't it just say just, and I'm not saying he was bad to start off with, but his confidence level wasn't there when he started. But now he just takes command. And we're just so honored for all these young men who are standing before us, who in the service, it being our fourth Sunday, we generally tend to have the younger men of the congregation serve on fourth and fifth Sundays here at Redford. And we are so happy that we have the young men here at the congregation that can perform in various tasks. This morning, I want to tell you that if you are a visitor here, that you are our honored guests. I do have one visitor's card, and it just said that there are some people visiting with Sister Neely and family. That's in the back. I think they're in the back right here. Could you please stand for us? Thank you so much. Okay. We're just so honored that you're here with us today. Just ask that you come at your next convenient time. You are truly an honored guest here, and if they haven't already, you're going to get a handshake, a hug, or a kiss just to welcome you in. Are there any other visitors at this time to my left that would like to be acknowledged? I'm going to ask that you stand. Are there any visitors to my right at this time that would like to be acknowledged? Please stand. Okay. Well, we just want to thank all those visitors who are in our audience. Just say thank you and just come back when you can and praise and worship with us. I do have a couple of notes. A couple of events did take place this past weekend. First, we want to thank Brother Dickerson and the men's ministry. The men went to a Tigers game on Friday night. And at least they brought them a little hope because they won Friday night. See, when you wasn't there on Saturday, they lost. But on Friday, they won, so it looked like a good game on TV. But I was told that everyone had just a joyous time, so we want to thank Brother Dickerson and those efforts that the men group here performed. And also the sisters, Sister Snow and Sister Knott, led at Sister Snow's house, a young ladies kind of a class, a young ladies class, and I heard that it was done very well, and the young ladies that I had in Bible class said they liked it, so you know they thoroughly enjoyed it, and I was told that it was about 16 young people around that about that were in involvement in that, so we just are privileged and honored here at Redford to have all the ministries that we do have here, and that really incorporates, encourages young people, and also keeping those that are or of the mature nature to keep faithful. It's all about what you want to do and get involved in. If you want to get involved and do something, then we have something for you to do here at Redford. Today, church, what I want you to do is turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. I want you to look at the book of Acts. I'm thinking we're going to be in Acts chapter 7 primarily. But we're going to start in verse number 5 and 8. I'll just read a portion of Acts chapter 6, a little bit of chapter 5, and verse number 8, just for emphasis' sake. And the Bible reads, Acts chapter 6, verse number 5, the beginning says, the statement found approval with the whole congregation. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Then it goes on to name the other men that they chose. And verse number 8 states, and Stephen, full of grace and power, New King James will say faith and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Today I want to talk a little about Stephen. You know, there are some people in this world that we will only know for a short time, but they will leave a tremendous and wonderful impact in our lives. You know, a huge impression. It could be a grandparent that you just loved and wish you had more time with. But it also could be a parent that might have passed away too soon, a sibling, a child that is gone way too soon, but they left such a tremendous impact on your life that it just shatters you to the core, the memory of them. It could be a childhood friend. Some of us reminisce. Oh, I remember this friend I grew up with. And, you know, it might have only been one grade level or 1 year of your life that you had this friend in your life, but you still recall all the things you did all summer and all school year long. It could be that teacher that pressed you the right way in life, even at an early age, and you didn't talk to that teacher throughout your whole life, but you remember what that teacher said to you back in the day. There are a lot of people that leave lifelong impressions on our lives. Today, Stephen is that man for us today. You know, Stephen's story is only told and he's only mentioned in these two chapters in the Bible, in chapter 6 and in chapter 7. But what he does in these two chapters, it recalls him as being the first martyr of the gospel of Christ. And what he does, I want to give you a little thing of what he does. And just let you know that we have to be like Stephen, full of faith. You know, it's not easy to be full of faith as we go through life. Just the pain, the trials, and the tribulation and ongoings of all that we have to undergo. It's not easy going through life when we have an adversary against us that wants our soul, that really wants our soul and tries to do everything to get your soul from God who loves you. This world is not an easy place. But we can see that Stephen, even though in his trials and tribulations and in his pain, even though he looks like and he is down, we can recognize that he is not defeated. He is not defeated. We understand, and one of the things my kids tell me all the time is, that's not fair. That's not fair. You know, life, I tell them back, isn't fair. Life isn't fair. It wasn't meant to be fair. I think about Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 11. Solomon, supposedly one of the wisest men in the world, understood that life sometimes wasn't fair. He states, again, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. If life was fair, the fastest should win the race. But guess what? That doesn't always happen. He said, the swift doesn't win, and the battle is not to the war, to the of ability. Let me read this. Again, saw under the sun, and that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability. For time and chance overtake them all. Life is not fair. Life isn't fair. And when we read these verses, we see that Stephen, Life wasn't fair to Stephen, but even though he did not get defeated, even though he allowed himself to understand and recognize that he was going to put up a fight to the end. You know, I look about Stephen, and the story of Stephen is an excellent story. He first has a calling. There was a need for him. There was a need for some men to take care of some business. So Stephen is called into action. Stephen is there because the Grecian Jews were not being taken care of. And the apostles understood that they couldn't do everything themselves. So they set some men up to handle the situation. And Stephen is listed as the first man to take care of the business. And what's special is that they recognize that Stephen is full of faith. It kind of gives a distinction between him and the others because they said Stephen, a man full of faith, and then he goes on to name the rest. But Stephen is full of faith. and you know what? It goes on because of his calling, and it tells you, it goes on to tell you some things about him. It goes on in verse number 8 says that, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. He just wasn't taking care of the job duties. He was going above and beyond. He said, I could take care of some other things, too. I could take care of these widows and these women that need the help. But I got some power inside of me, the power of God, that I need to go out and tell other people about Christ. I need to go out and heal some folk. I need to go out and help some folk. That's where Stephen's mentality was in his calling. He understood and he recognized. But you know what? Anytime there's some good work being done, there's going to be somebody to contrast or contradict you. When we read in verse number 9 through verses 15, it states, but some men who what was called the synagogue of freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Sicilia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. They were secretly inducing men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the peoples and the elders and the scribes, and they came to him and dragged him away and brought him before the council. They put forward false witnesses who said, this man incessantly speaks against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Nazarene, Jesus, will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses had handed down to us. And fixing their glance on him, all were who sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. You know, I just want to tell you that in life, there are some things that we're going to go through. Life is not easy. There are some times when people will try to drag you down. But you know what is we have to understand and we have to recognize, no matter what we go through, we just can't give up. No matter what we go through, we just can't throw in a towel. You know, he understood and he was given the opportunity starting in chapter number 7 to speak. And you know, on a number of occasions, I have been able and given the ability to speak to the young people downstairs, the sixth grade and below. And there are times in which I will tell them Bible stories, and I'll go and I'll just start and give them a history lesson. I'll just say, okay, God created the heavens and the earth, and I'll go through that. And I'll go through Adam and Eve, and I'll go to Noah, to Abraham. And you know what? It reminded me of what Stephen did in his defense of his teaching. He told them some things that they probably already knew. He started off with Abraham, and he told them how God chose Abraham, and God had them to Abraham had was given the promise, and this promise continued through Isaac to Jacob, and he's actually given them a history lesson, and they probably were not amused with the history. We already know this. We know about Abraham. This is in the scriptures. We know this. We know this already. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know, and the promise that God had given them. and what God had done for them. He had given them a promised land. He had told them all these blessings would be upon them, that they would be his people. He was telling them and bringing them. And which he did is he brought them to Joseph. And he said there was a time when, and he tells them about Jacob having the son Joseph, and Joseph and Pharaoh and getting along, and Jacob bringing the family into Egypt. In all these verses, he's letting them know how history was happening. And he's telling them and explaining to them about Joseph and how his people were oppressed, how his people were getting beaten. So he saw Moses and he raised up Moses, and Moses was the one to take them out of Egypt and to rescue them. And he goes on, and this is chapter 7, verses 20 to 44. He talks about Moses and what Moses does. And he gave them the covenant of circumcision and all these things. Stephen is telling them how he grew up and became a man of God, how he saw injustices and he took a stand. He goes on to even talk after Moses, and he talks about Joshua and how Joshua was a man of God. He goes into David and building the temple or preparation for the temple, and Solomon building of the temple. And they heard all this, and they're listening, and he's looking at them. And you know what? I want to tell you, if you haven't spoken to a crowd, you don't understand this. But Brother Snow understands this. Anybody who's been up here understands this. There is a point when you can tell when the audience ain't paying attention. You can tell when the audience is against you, when they don't want to listen to you. Now, what he was telling them was some good stuff. But either they had the idea in their mind, I've already heard this before, I don't want to hear it no more. Or whatever you say is la, 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 la in my ears. So he goes on and he looks at them in verse 51. And the nature of his sermon flips. See, he was teaching history, but then he stops and he says, you men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Now, it's one thing to say you just like your daddy when it's a good saying. But now when your daddy is a no good, drunk, woman beating, abusing, you say you just like your daddy. That's what he did. He said, you just like your daddy. They didn't love God and you don't love them either. And he goes on and he says, which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers are murderers you have now become. You who received the law as ordinary by angels and yet did not keep it. He said, y'all should be at a better place than what y'all are. But y'all ain't no good. Y'all hearts ain't no good. Y'all minds ain't no good. Oh, my goodness. They couldn't take it. They couldn't take it. But you know what? When presented with God, when presented with Christ, you've got some things that you either can learn or respond to. You know, I think about what they could have learned from the sermon. They could have learned from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that God keeps his promises. You know, they could have learned that God works in mysterious ways and is in control from Joseph, because all the things that Joseph went through, but he led him from the prison to beside the king, second in command. They could have learned that God is deserving of our worship from Joshua, David, and Solomon, who yearned to build that temple for him. to worship him and praise him. They could have learned woe to anyone who rejects the righteous one, Jesus Christ and our Father God, that it wasn't good to reject God. But you know what? They didn't learn any of those things. They couldn't hear any of that. They didn't understand any of that. You know, when confronted with God, there are ways that people respond. Some ways is just to not do anything, and inaction is an action. The rich young ruler tried to walk away from it, but he walked away from God. Inaction is action. You can get angry, and that's what these guys did. Or you can accept the truth. You know, in getting angry, uncontrollable anger is deadly. It hinders communications. It can shut down your reasoning. It can do away with all self-control. When you're so angry, you don't know what to do. I've seen people so much in a fit of rage and anger, they just start shaking and don't, you know, like they want to start foaming at the mouth. This was the point that these men were in. When we start reading, we'll see that they're starting to gnash at their teeth in verse 54. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick. You know, when I read cut to the quick, I think about the in Acts chapter 2 where they were pierced to the heart. And they asked, what shall we do to be saved? But they were cut to the quick, and they were ready to kill. They were pierced to the heart, and they were ready to go into action the opposite way. Not to follow Christ and his disciples, but to kill them. You know, it says, they gnashed their teeth at him. It says, but being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently in heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You know, I want to tell you that I don't know exactly where Stephen lived. I don't know what family members he had. I don't know how old he was when he died. But I do know that Stephen was a man full of faith. He emulated Christ Jesus. If someone would lie on us, if someone would refuse to listen to the truth that we were giving them, if someone would attempt to physically harm us when we've done nothing wrong, is that only a then thing? Could that happen today? Have y'all been watching the news? These things can happen today. Some people can lie on you. Some people can physically harm you for no reason. You know, we have to recognize. We have to see how he was able to be full of faith. What made Stephen different? What made him different? What brought him so close to God? What was it? You know, I want to tell you, I want to give you some things, and this lesson will be yours. I want to give you some things, and the lesson will be yours. How to be full of faith. The first thing we have to do is to be aware of how we're living. Be aware of how we're living. You know, I think about how Stephen lived and how he was considered. The Bible will state, but he did something different. But being full of faith, he gazed intently. He wasn't a part of their crowd. You know, we all are going to suffer in life, and we're going to suffer for various reasons. But I would like to suffer for Christ, 10 times than I would want to suffering for doing something wrong or unjust or being caught up in this world. Let me suffer for Christ. 1 Peter 3:13 starts off, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is God good? But even if you should suffer for what so he of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in a thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than doing what is wrong. I'd rather suffer for doing what is right. Make sure that you're suffering for the right reasons. Make sure you're suffering for the right reasons. And also be sure that you react to the hardship the right way. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. That's James 1 and 2. We need to go into our sufferings in the right attitude and the right way. We need to understand it. And that's what Stephen could do. He even if he could run, he wouldn't. He was ready to speak for Christ. Even if he could block the hits, he wasn't, because he was there to speak for Christ. We need to be aware of who is leading. Who is leading? You know, when we lead, we get lost quite a bit. But when God is leading, we can be saved. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Verse 24 says, when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hands. We need to understand who's leading. Is God leading us, or is this world leading us? What is our priority? Who are we following in life? Stephen understood who he was following. We also need to be understanding and recognize where we're looking. When accusations came, when stones started to hurl, he continually looked up. He continually saw Jesus. He was looking at the right place in the right fashion. See, so many of us, when problems come, we look at the situation instead of the one who can fix the situation. Amen. See, so many times when things go wrong, we focus on the thing that is wrong instead of the one who can make it right. Amen. You know, and that's our problem. That's our problem. You know, we're so caught up in each of us in our situations, we don't look at the one who can fix or who determines our situation. We so caught up in ourselves and the problem, we don't look in the right place. But Stephen understood, and he looked in the right place. You know, believers, we have to keep a heavenly focus. We have to keep a heavenly focus. And we also must be aware of where we're leaning. And you know what I thought about this is that when we get in situations, we always call somebody. You're going to call somebody when you get in some trouble. I don't know who you call or who's your best friend or what's going to happen, but you're going to call somebody. You better call God first and pray that whoever you call next will give you some godly advice. You know, we need to learn to call on God in every situation. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. We need to ask God first. Ask him first, not last. Ask him first. We also need to learn to be to give our burdens to the Lord. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We need to recognize, we need to see. And that's how he became full of faith. But you know what? This story doesn't end in a happy ending. You know, I told you a little while ago that life wasn't fair. You know, I told you that things don't happen in this world necessarily because it's fair or just or right. God will take care of your righteousness and fairness, because heaven will be fair. It says, closing out these verses, verse number 56, it says, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out in a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of the young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You know, he goes on to say, then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. You know, when we think about this man who was put in a position, just think about this. He's put in a position by the apostles to do a job. And he's doing an excellent job that they gave him to do. And because of that job, because of speaking out for Christ, he then is put on trial, lied on, persecuted, people talking bad about him, slandering his name, all because he's following Christ. He's talking to a group of people who, when he tells and embarks the gospel of Christ to them, telling them who Jesus is, they hate it to their core. They hate it so much that they can't help but to kill him. They can't help but to carry him out of the city. They can't help to throw stones at him until he breathes his last breath. I mean, you know, I think about stoning. Say, how did people stone people back in the day and just get into a circle and just throw stones at you until you dead? That's a hard thing. You know, in our wisdom, we say, oh, I can run away from that, man. I'm ducking and dodging. I can miss a couple of them stones. No, it wasn't that nice. They was hitting you good. And Stephen took it, wound after wound after wound, hit after hit after hit. He stood in the circle. He stood in the circle with his eyes on Christ. He understood what his purpose was. He didn't say, you know what, I shouldn't be a Christian. I should have never been a Christian. This is what Christians go through. I should have never been a leader. I could have just sat in the church pews and everything would have been all right. I should have never accepted the role. You know, he could have thought it would have been better if I would have been at another congregation somewhere. Than to have to go through this pain over here where this congregation. You know, Stephen went through some hardships, but still, even in his death, he continued to grow more and more like Christ. Amen. The last verse in chapter 7 of his story says, you know what? Forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. That's right. Didn't Jesus say that too? Right. As he was on the cross dying? I mean, he says this exact same thing. He has the exact same feeling to forgive these people of their ignorance. My problem is there has to be a time when we stop being ignorant. When is the time for those that don't know something? When is the time for them to get some smarts in their head? And I should say us, because who Stephen was talking to was they weren't the baptized body, but they were the Jewish rite, the one who were at that time the chosen people, but not chosen then, but they were of them. He was having discourse with them about the word of God. When they saw he was right, that's when they planted the lies. You know, some people hate it when you write, you know. I'm going to tell you this. Listen, I would tell you so many stories about me and my wife. My wife say I'm always right. I always got to be right. That's what she say. I always got to be right. Let me say it like that. I ain't going to say I'm always right. She say I always got to be right. But she got me scared, because when I am right, we have an argument. I said, I ain't going to tell her now. I'm just going to be right. Just got to be in my head. She'll find out. We can't even discuss it now. She know I'm right. but the thing is when you hear the truth, when you know the truth, you're supposed to respond to the truth. And you do respond to the truth. It just depends on the way you respond to it. So I'm going to tell you today, the truth is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He did die and he was buried on the third day. That truth should cause you, if you're a member of the body of Christ, to get right, act right, and remain faithful. And be full of faith. And today, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, it should make you move some way. And I told you the three ways: to do nothing, inaction, which is inaction, to believe, to come forward, knowing that you need to repent of your sins, that you're in error of your ways, you're going the wrong way, and you want to go Christ's way. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, and remaining faithful, full of faith. Be full of faith like Stephen. You want to be just like Christ. Or you can get angry and upset and never come back again. Want to pick up some stones, want to get angry. Oh, he done said the truth. The truth doesn't change. It is what it is. But you know, we all respond to it. It's just how we respond to it. It's what you're going to do with the truth. It's what you want with the truth. You know, some people understand and some people recognize when it's Black Friday is around the corner, when they got a sale on and they say the first five people in line gonna get a free TV, some of y'all be there overnight. Y'all believe in that truth. It's going to make you move. You might have a TV in every single room of your house, but if you think you can be one of them first five people to get that TV, you're going to be standing right there, lawn chair, everything else, because the truth makes you move if you find it valuable. But the truth is the truth. Today, I just want to let you know that Stephen, you know, Stephen is amazing. He and if you ever get a chance, and I skim through it, chapter 6 and chapter 7, Stephen, that's all it is about Stephen. But what he did for us to show us how much faithfulness, how much faith was in him, how he was able to stand in the midst of vipers and people that would want to kill him, how to handle yourself in the midst of opposition. That's what Stephen did. Stephen showed us how to be a man of God, a leader, one who can stand up strong. That's what Stephen did. How to lead correctly, how to be an example for others. Stephen was the first one to die. Now you don't think even he was chosen, but you don't think the apostles knew what was coming after Stephen died? They said, well, if they kill Stephen, it might be coming for me too. And for him to take it the way he took it, well, I got to take it like that too then. Hey, the way Jesus took it, it was falling in place. That's how we take it. Full of faith. You know, and I like when he his eyes was focused on Christ, you know, he saw Christ standing. You know, and the Bible says standing. You know, a lot of places it say sitting, Christ sitting. It say he's standing. You know, I thought about it. Why is Christ standing? Is he about to act? He about to jump down there and do something? What I say, you know, stand to attention, or is he standing because Stephen stood for him? Is he standing because he saw what Stephen was going through and said, man, you deserve me to stand for you because you standing for me. Right. I got your back. I want you to see me right in front of you. Because you doing what's right. Amen. I want Christ to stand for me. Amen. I want to do what's right for Christ. Amen. So he can look down on me and say, you doing what's right. Amen. You acting right. You persevering. That endurance is there. Today, the lesson is yours. I've already extended an invitation. I just want to say today is that choice. Today is the choice of the rest of your life. Just because you baptized don't mean you're going to heaven. Amen. Too many of us think that. Too many people think that because they come on Sunday, they're going to heaven. Because they baptized, they're going to heaven. You better be full of faith. That's how you know. Stephen knew where he was going. He looked up. He said, Jesus, I see you. I'll be there in a little while. I know where you're going. Be full of faith. Today, the lesson is, the invitation has been extended. The lesson is yours. Come now as we together stand and sing. There.